Jesus' precious name. Are we earnestly longing to be filled more with Christ? And I think that's what the desire I seen in the young folks sharing this morning. I was blessed with that. An earnest desire to be filled with God and to be emptied of self is the only way that can happen. And I guess as I think of this, and I'm thinking of the difference between this morning, not so much the difference between wickedness and righteousness, but this morning I want to talk about the difference between the good things and the best things that we can have. And I know most of you here this morning have already given your heart to the Lord. You've made that decision to serve Him, and that's your desire. If I would ask everyone this morning, if that's your desire, I believe everyone would raise their hand. That's your desire this morning. Who is on the Lord's side? And we would all say, we're on the Lord's side. But why are we on the Lord's side? The question might be raised. Why? And I want to look at why we should be on the Lord's side and what it takes to be filled with His love and filled with His power in our life, filled with with fulfillment. The title I want to have this morning is Divine Fulfillment. You know, everybody in life wants to be fulfilled. I've watched people and they try this and they try that and they try all kinds of things to be fulfilled, and most things in life do not bring complete fulfillment and satisfaction like they do, like serving God. But then people even try to they try God for the wrong reasons sometimes. They try because they want themselves, but they're looking for fulfillment for our fleshly fulfillment in the wrong way. And sometimes that doesn't even work because we seek God for the wrong reason. So I want to look at some Bible characters here and the differences that we see. And some of them did it the wrong way, and some of them did it the right way. And they have the answers are there in Scripture for us as to what really brings divine fulfillment. In Hebrews, I'll just start out looking at a verse there in Hebrews, which we use a lot. Hebrews chapter 6 talks about going on to perfection. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, let us go on. So we made that choice. We made that choice to serve Him. We made that choice. But it says, let us go on. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now, I don't know if I know exactly what all he's saying there, but what I get out of this is that all of the doctrines of the Word of God, they're all good and they're right, and they have their place in the beginnings. But we need to some of those things, we need to get past that. We need to go beyond. We know we need to get beyond all the not that we forsake them, not that we say they're not right and they're not good. They are right. They are necessary for the beginnings. But if we don't get beyond that, people many times get tangled up in those things, and they just stay there. They just stay always struggling in the mire of should I do this or should I do that or should I there's just so many things, and they don't go on in seeking God. They don't go on and get this divine fulfillment that God really wants each one of us to have. And I think as we look at this, there are so many things that Satan wants to get our attention, and actually many good things that he wants to get our attention to doing And they're not bad things. They're not things that are wrong scripturally. But if he can get our attention into doing good things, maybe we think that if I don't do all these good works, that I'll lose my salvation. And that may be true. But we might do all these good works, and we might do it all for the wrong reason, and we might not, and we might lose our salvation anyway. And that's the thing that that we need to get. I believe we need to get past, not past doing good works. That's not what I'm saying at all. Not past doing the good works, but past any wrong reason for doing the good works. Past the reason of being, of finding this fulfillment in all the good things that we do. Because I've watched people, and they go, they make that change. They maybe are living wicked lives, and they make that change now. They're doing a lot of wicked works, and they make that change, and they go, and they say, now I want to do something for God. I want to do something for God. And because I want to be fulfilled, and I want to be worthwhile. Thank you. And they go and they try that for a while. And they might do all kinds of things. They might do mission work. They might do all kinds of programs and for helping people. And they still don't find that fulfillment, that satisfaction that comes with seeking God. And seeking God is something that I think many times I feel like many times we just don't exactly know what it is to seek God, to seek Him and Him only. And we have some tremendous examples in here. I'll look at a few verses. First of all, in Ephesians here, get us thinking. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. 18, sorry. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places." I'll stop there. Let's just bow our heads for prayer before I go any further here. Our great God and Father in heaven, Lord, I recognize this morning we need You above all else. We need You to be fulfilled, to be satisfied. And we need Your enlightenment. We need Your wisdom and Your power, Your might in our life. We need humility, as we have heard. And we cannot seek You without that, Father. And so I ask, Lord, that You would come to us this morning and anoint our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, with enlightenment to see what is that great fulfillment that You have made possible for each one of us, Father. That we would seek You above all else, and not just Your blessings, but that we would seek You with a fervent heart, and that we would grow, and that we would be content, that we would be fulfilled in You, and then from that, all these other things will flow out as your Word shows us, Father. So we ask that You will be with each one of our hearts here this morning, and bless each one, and as Your Word is read and preached, that You will be honored and glorified, and You will have Your way in our life. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we see here that the eyes of our understanding need to be enlightened. And I'm not talking about a worldly wisdom. I'm not talking about a college education. I'm talking about what, like when Peter and, was it Peter and John, and the people around them, they said that these were unlearned and ignorant men, but they could see that they had been with Jesus. That's the kind of understanding I'm talking about this morning. And there's a lot of theologians that study the Scriptures, and they come to a good conclusion, and they have a lot of knowledge, but they haven't really been with Jesus, and And that's what it takes to understand it. His word, the way God wants us to, is to be with Jesus and to be seeking Him with all our heart. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There's a lot of people today who have not been fulfilled in Christ, and they're running and they're running and they're trying to find fulfillment. And there's other churches besides here that are fine churches, and they're living for the Lord. But I'll tell you what, if you don't find fulfillment in Christ right here, you won't find it in any other church either. Because fulfillment is not found in organizations and groups. Fulfillment in Christ is found, first of all, in Him and seeking Him. And He fills our heart. And I believe I can be fulfilled if I attend here and I'm part of this brotherhood. I can be fulfilled in others as well. But I tell you, don't ever start looking for fulfillment in things, in places, in activities, because they don't fill you. Psalm 17, verse 15 is a verse. I'll look at that. You don't need to turn there, but I'm just looking at a few verses here to begin with that point out what it really means to be filled and what it takes. The psalmist here says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That is what we're striving for this morning. We're striving for the honor and glory of God. Anyone who has decided to follow Christ is striving to be more like Him. We're striving. We're seeking Him. We're seeking that relationship with Him that all of the other things might flow out of. The other things that many times people say that people do for fulfillment, they're looking for the result as the principle of what they're seeking, and it doesn't work. But when we seek God as the principle, as for His honor and glory, then all these things flow out of that. And there's power in that. There's many people who are doing wonderful programs, and there's no power in it. There's no power because they're doing it for the wrong reason. And that's the thing that I want us to understand today is that even salvation people are seeking through good works. You know, James says it well. He says, faith without works is dead, and that's very true. But there's also the other side that works by itself will never save us. And I think we all know that. We all know that. That works will never save us. Works and the works will never actually bring fulfillment in our life either. But Christ, He brings fulfillment. And then because of that salvation, and because of that relationship with Him, we have salvation, and He continues to work through us, in us, and through us. I want to look at some things that... let's look in Psalms again. There's some more verses in there I think I would like to read. In Psalms chapter 61, if you want to turn there, you can. And here's an example of David... And his desire for God, and I really appreciate his desire. In Psalm chapter 61, he says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wing, Selah. For thou, God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. And then in Psalm chapter 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I will not be greatly moved. And then in Psalm chapter 63, for, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And he says in verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. How many times do I value my life more than Christ? We're not always tested with this. Some of them have been. Some of our forefathers have been tested with their life versus how much they love Christ. And I marvel at the testimonies when you read in the Martyr's Mirror and different people who have been tested with that, and they love not their lives unto death. We haven't been tested with that really here, but we're tested in many other ways, and I think some ways that are a little more subtle, but with deception. We're tested, I believe, with what I would call the secular Christianity. And secular Christianity, if you look at that, and I have a message on that, but I'm not. Just look at a couple points in that, maybe. In secular Christianity, someone pointed out to me that there is nothing like that, and that's very true. But there are many who profess to be Christians who are very secular. Secular simply means there's nothing sacred, there's no vows, there's nothing really that important. There's no black and whites. It's just, you know, everything is in my heart. I serve God with my heart, and the outward doesn't really matter, which we know is not true, and that secular church is probably the biggest one here in America, and there's a lot of people in that today. But when you get to the place where you're asking things of people and there's things that we know that are fleshly and carnal, and we say, no, we don't really want to do that, then people just, they go out to these other churches, and I've watched this all my life, and they go to churches where there is nothing sacred anymore. They preach Jesus, but they don't preach the doctrine of Jesus. They don't preach his gospel. They preach another one. That's probably one of the biggest things that we're tempted with today. And so, well, I'm not going to look too much into what all of that is. I want to look this morning at contrasting another man, and that's found in First Chronicles chapter four, and verse ten. We don't read a lot about him, but he had a prayer, and I want to just look at that prayer a little bit. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And this is about Jabez. He says, and Jabez called on the God, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and now that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now here was a man who, I don't know much about his life, but he prayed to God, and he asked God. You know, God is just wanting, he is waiting to bless us. He really is. He wants to bless us. But here Jabez called on God, and I'm just going to call into question his desires a little bit. I don't know all of his desires. Maybe they were right, and maybe he was following God. But you notice here, he wasn't really asking for God himself. He was asking for the blessings that God can give him. And I'm just putting this out to each one of us today. Why did we decide to serve God? Why did we decide that we're going to follow Him? Did we do it are we doing it just for the blessings that He will give to us, or are we doing it because we really want Him and because we really want to be like Him? I mean, when I watch and I look at Christianity today, the secular Christianity, I'm talking more, and even in our conservative circles, I wonder sometimes why we serve God. We tend to be caught up in getting all the latest gadgets and the most convenient things that there are out there. I mean, that's just what I see. I mean, it's not just what I see in others. I see it in myself. I mean, I'll just give a little example. I got a pretty nice flashlight the other day. I was kind of liking this one flashlight where you can recharge the thing and you don't have to buy batteries, and hopefully it'll be a little more less expensive. So I got this flashlight, works really good. And you just charge this thing up. Then someone gave my son one that's even a little nicer. It's just got a little magnet where you can set it on the charger, and you can walk by and you can pick that thing up and you can go use it. When you come back, you can set it right there on the charger. It's got a little magnet. You don't have to plug it in. It's just a little more convenient. So I'm thinking, well, I'd kind of like to have one like that too. Yeah, all these conveniences that are available for us today, well, we have to work then, maybe another extra day to get that. We don't maybe figure all these things in. Maybe it's not as convenient as what it looks. But I'm just thinking a little bit. All the things, okay, we serve God. We don't spend money on things that are wrong, that are out there absolutely wrong. So we save that money, so now we can use it for something else that it's still good for, still nice for the flesh. I don't know. I'm just putting this out there for all of us to think about. I notice a lot of people getting, this is kind of an old thing, but I notice people getting the refrigerator now where you got your cup, you know, the water, you just stick your cup up there and you get your ice and I don't have one of them yet, but I don't think they're wrong. I just wait 20 or 30 years after they came out with them so they're cheap enough to where I can get a used one so I can afford it. So I'll probably have one someday too. So I'm not saying they're wrong. But you see, these are all things that I'm comparing that now with what Jabez was. He wanted something more. He wanted a little bigger. He wanted a little more land. He wanted to have a little bigger farm. And he asked God to bless him. And I want you to be with me now. I gave my heart to you, and I recognize that you're my Lord and my Savior. Well, my Savior for sure. Now, my Lord, when I want you to be, I don't know. I hope not. But that's the way a lot of it goes. My Lord, when I want you to be, I'll do what you say as long as it doesn't disagree with my flesh too much. I don't know. Where are we at in all of these things? How much are we? What? Even the popular evangelists today are talking like this. Hey, you know, this is easy. Just come and get saved, and God will turn your life all around, and He'll make it all better. And in fact, it's exciting. One man said, he said, the Christian life, he said, things were dull and drab before, but I gave my heart to the Lord. Now it's exciting. He said, I invite you all to come in and get in on the fun. Join in. It's fun. It's great. It's fantastic. We're having a great time. Tell you what. And they even have a little card you can read off, and it says, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I need to be born again. I need to be, and I stand on the promises that you have made me a new creature now. And then you pray this prayer, and then they even have a line where you can just sign your name at the bottom, and now I'm saved. Now I'm born again. Now I'm walking with the Lord. Now it's exciting. You know, I've watched that kind of excitement gets old too. And then when the church that they're in isn't quite as exciting as they think it ought to be, they go somewhere else. And you know, after a while, that one's not as exciting as it used to be when they got there either, and they go somewhere else. And I'm not saying it's wrong to go somewhere else. We all probably were somewhere before we were here. But what I'm trying to get us to think about is why we do what we do. What are the motives behind it? When I ask God to bless me, why am I asking God to bless me? What am I really seeking? Am I seeking God or the blessings that He will pour out on us? He does that. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. But when the blessings, when we seek God for His blessings instead of seeking God for God, those things get old and they wear out, and we always have to seek something new. You know, Jesus said, a man came to Him in Luke, and he said, "Lord, I want to follow You." And he should have said, according to modern evangelization, he should have said, "Come on in, it's a great time. He'll change your life. You'll have a great time. Things will all be better. It'll be exciting." But what did he say? He said, "The foxes have holes in the ground, the birds have nests," but he says, I don't have a place to call my home, to call home here in this life. I don't have a place to lay my head. I don't have a pillow." He said, "When you come to me, when you come and you want to follow me, life might not be that exciting. Life might not be that thrilling. Life might not be all roses. In fact, it probably won't be. It probably won't be. Probably won't be that exciting. But I'll tell you what, the one thing you don't want to ever forget, it's fulfilling. It's fulfilling, and you won't be disappointed. When you seek God, when you seek Him for who He is and for what He is and for His honor and glory, I'll guarantee you won't be disappointed. In all the other things, in the blessings that He pours out upon." Now, He does give these a lot of blessings when you follow Him. There are a lot of blessings. But the blessings aren't the way the flesh likes to see them a lot of times. And that's the difference. The blessings are not like the flesh wants them. Jesus asked Peter three times. He said, "Do you love me?" And he was grieved. He's like, "Well, sure, you know I love you." And I think every one of us would say that here today. We love Christ. We love God. We love Him. But I don't think Peter understood at that time what Jesus was getting at. I think later he did. And as he followed Christ, he didn't give up. Now, he had some failures, and like we all do. But he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on. I think he understood what Jesus was saying. But to me, Jesus was simply saying, if we don't love God right, the way He wants us to, we can't feed the sheep right. He said, "Feed my sheep." He said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." And too many times we go out and we might evangelize, we might do all kinds of good and right things for the wrong reason, and we can't feed His sheep. We can't feed God's sheep the way He wants us to if we're not loving Him the way He wants us to. If we're not loving Him because of Him, because we want to be more like Him, and because we want to please Him and not just to receive the benefits of pleasing Him. And that's the difference, I believe, that we see in that. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 2, and we want to look again. I'm just a number of these things I'll probably say twice. In my humanity and flesh, I need to hear things more than once. So we're going to go over, look at a chapter here of people in Revelation chapter 2 in verse 1 to 7. He's talking to the people at Ephesus here, and he says, "These things saith He that holdeth the seven stars in His right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." And I believe this was Jesus. "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how then thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, hast found them liars, and has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored, has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now here we have a group of people that I would say has a very, very high recommendation. They were doing very well. They hated, they had patience, and they labored, and they had good works, and they hated the evil, and they tried them which were false apostles and found them liars, and they didn't faint. But he says, but I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. The priority of what God wants from us, they had left that. Now, I think you could say that these people had probably served on mission fields. They had witnessed. They had preached. They hated the wickedness. They read their Bible. They prayed. They tithed. They helped the poor. They even dressed right. But he tells these people that what you're doing is not about me anymore. It's not about God. It's not about him. And he says, I want to be the supreme center of your being. And if not, he says, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to remove your candlestick. He says, if what we're doing is not about God and about him and about his honor and glory, he's going to come and remove that whatever we do have. That the things, the blessings that he's poured out on us, he's going to remove those things and will no longer be even a people. There's people that have the form of godliness, but they don't have the power. And I think he's going to even remove that form if we don't follow through, because it's for God, it's for Christ, it's for him alone. He will even remove the form. And I know this to be true because it's happening all over in America. The form. The people don't even have a form, and they profess Christ. In Isaiah 55, verse 2, I'll just read that. Talks about those. He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And I think that there is a pretty large contrast with the prayer of Jabez. He says, come to me. He's not seeking the blessings, although, like I said, there are blessings. But he's seeking God. He's seeking him. He's telling us to seek him. And there's a big difference between that and seeking God's blessings. I'm going to look at Moses now. And if you would, turn with me there if you can. In Moses chapter 33. Moses, this here always stood out to me as the whole answer to this whole matter. Moses was a man. You can tell by what he says that he had found fulfillment in. He had found it for real, and this is the answer to this problem today of what I believe is the greatest problem in Christianity today, and that is that we don't know how to seek right. Or people, because of having a poor understanding of what it is they should be seeking for, they don't seek it in the right way, and they don't seek the right thing. I just say, first couple years that I was preaching, I seen a lot of people who were They were caught up in the desires of the world, and not so much even in good things, but they weren't necessarily a sin in themselves, but they were just kind of secular things. And I thought, you know, the Bible teaches more on any other subject. It teaches on separation. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And we need to do that, and that's right. But they would come out. They kind of came out. I mean, they said, like, I'm going to serve the Lord. They kind of came out, but they kind of kept seeking all these things that they spend money for, and it doesn't satisfy. And so I thought, we need to preach separation. Let's be separate. Let's be a separate people. And that's right. But that didn't seem to work very well. So I thought, well, you know, I read here how Moses, his attitude about and where he had got to in life, and I thought, well, this is what people need. And it is. It is the ultimate thing. What we need is what Moses had found here. We're going to look at that. But and I began to preach to that. Fulfillment in Christ. If you have fulfillment in Christ, you shouldn't need a rule in the church, right? You shouldn't need anything. If everybody was fulfilled in Christ and seeking Him and Him alone, and that's what Moses said. He said, "This is how God's going to. This is how people are going to know that you're a separate people is if God's presence is with you. And if God's presence is with you, you should never have to have anyone tell you what to do, right? But you know what? That didn't work either. Now I don't know why exactly. I came to the conclusion, and because of Scripture, that Scripture says that we must give direction, talking about people that we didn't look at that verse, but it was in a chapter there right before one of the verses I looked at. It says, those that have their senses discern, that those that are, I'll put it in my own words, mature enough to discern between good and evil. There's always people growing up. There's always people that have given their heart to the Lord. They want to serve the Lord, but they're not experienced in what all of that is yet, and they need direction. They need the elders of the church, and I'm not talking about just ordained ones, the elders. I mean the people that are leading out, the mature people in the church must give direction for those growing up, and there must be that. And if we think that is not necessary, we're going to be in for a sad surprise. But I tell you, if everyone would seek for divine fulfillment the way Moses did here, there would be a whole lot less need for any kind of what you might call rules or guidelines or discipline or anything like that than what a lot of churches have. And so that's my heart's desire for each one, that we would all seek for God in the way that Moses did here. And if we do that, we will find fulfillment, and we'll also find that it causes a lot less other troubles in our life as well. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 33 here. He said, verse 1, "And the Lord said to Moses, Depart and go up hence, thou and the people, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed I will give it you." Here's the blessing. God had said, I want you to do these certain things, and I'm going to give you this land. And he says, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite. I will drive out all the enemies here unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. Now, you would almost think that would be a misprint here. He says, I'm going to send an angel before you, and I'm going to give you all these blessings that I promised you, and I'm going to even send an angel with you to lead you, a divine being. But he says, I'm not going with you. Wow. When I read that, I was like, that's got to be wrong there. He says, I'm going to send an angel with you. I'm going to send a divine being to claim these promises that I said I'm going to give you, but I'm not going with you. And I think that most people, most professing Christians today, they would say, that's great, let's go. They'd forget all about God. I believe that's where most people are at today. I'm not saying you here. I don't know your hearts, but I know a lot of your hearts, and I'm really blessed. Keep on. But where are you at today? Are you ready to charge ahead with just the blessing that God's going to give us, And forget this little part here. He says, I won't go with you. I won't go with you. Wow. And then he said, you're a stiff-necked people, he told him. He said, he said, I'm about ready to consume you. But I don't know. You see the heart of God here. God wants to bless us so much. But he says, I can't. I can't if you're not going to follow me all for me and for my will and for my honor and glory. If you're going to follow me just for the blessings, he says, I can't really bless you the way I want to. But he told him, he says, I will send a divine leader up with you. Then he told him what to do. He said they had some problems here. He said, put off their ornaments that I may know what to do. And they got rid of them. They were pretty. They were listening here, at least to some degree, and they got rid of these things that God told them to. And then Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And then we skip a few verses and go over to verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now Moses here, he's beginning to question God a little. He's wondering, God, you said this, but now you said you're not going with us. And he said, now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. Notice here what he says, I may know thee. And he doesn't mention the blessings that God had promised him, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then Moses was satisfied. And he said, if thy presence don't go with me, he said, if your presence isn't going to go with us, I don't want to go. Moses here, he wasn't excited by all the blessings that God was going to pour out on him, because he knew they didn't satisfy. He knew that the only thing that would satisfy was God's presence in his heart and his life. Moses was a mature man. He understood how God worked. He understood where the fulfillment lies. And he says, if your presence isn't going with us, I don't even want to go. He said, for wherein it shall be known, shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. This is where the separation is found. You know, you can separate yourself, and we should do all the things that we are a separate people. We will want to be separate. We will want to do different than we won't want to look and smell like the world. But we can do all of that. We can do all of that for the wrong reason too, and we can and not be a separate people, separated unto God. And Moses said here, if your presence goes with us, that is how the people are going to know that we're a separate people from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, now here's a final thing that Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That's what Moses wanted above all else. He wanted to experience the glory of God in his life. Is that where you and I are at today? Do we want to experience the glory of God in our life? His holy presence with us? All else is vain. Everything else, all the good things that we can do are vanity. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now God shows mercy to a lot of people. In a lot of ways we don't deserve, he shows mercy to us. But the people that he really shows his glory and his mercy are those that are seeking Him with their whole heart, with their full heart. And only Him. You know, people worry about, now that I got saved, what should I do to serve Him? What should I do? Should I go to the mission field? Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go out and witness on the streets? I don't think those things are, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to say that they're not things that, they're not, there are things we should be doing. But I don't think that that's all that important. If we're seeking God and we're seeking for His fulfillment, His glory, for His glory and not for ours, those things will flow naturally out from us. And God will provide the opportunities and they will come up. And I believe that they will be made known to us. And He will take us and we'll be, like it says, out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water. It could be right here. It could be on a foreign land. It could be in a neighboring village. It could be wherever. But we won't have to go and make a great big show of it, because when the rivers of living water are flowing out of our belly from, like Peter and John, it says that they can tell they've been with Jesus. I'll tell you what. Then God does the work. Because when we do these things on our own because of something we want to do, there's not much power in it, because we're doing the work and not God. And don't get me wrong, I'm not putting down missions and evangelism and anything like that. That's not at all what I'm saying. I'm not putting down all the good works that are out there that are to be done at all. I'm just saying, if we don't do it for the right reason, they're going to end in us being discouraged and unfulfilled. In closing here, I'll just read a little thing that I heard somewhere, and I wrote it down, and just kind of a showing what I've been talking about here. But this man said, once I asked for blessing, but now I want the Lord. Once it was a feeling, but now it's God has spoken. You know, we sometimes have these feelings. We say, I feel like I should do this. I should do this. But is it God speaking? Or is it my emotions speaking? And he says, now, it's God has spoken. Once you give up those feelings, once you give up those even good desires that are right things, once you give it up to God, God will show you. God will show us what He wants us to do. Once it His gift I wanted, now it is the giver. Once I sought for healing, now I seek for Him. Once was painful trying, now it's perfect trust. Once I had salvation, but now I have the Savior. You know, it's great to be saved, but it's a whole lot better to have the source. It's a whole lot better to have the Savior and have Him. Once was ceaseless holding, now He holds me fast. You know, there's times we try to hang on to this salvation. We just hang on for all our strength. We try to do everything we can to keep saved. But when we give it all, when we seek Him, He holds us fast. And we don't even have to, we don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. And something else I wanted to mention. When a person has fulfillment in Christ, I see so many people getting offended. Somebody says something, and they get offended. And people run all over. People run from church to church for that reason too. They get offended because someone mentioned something to them, or they said something they thought was out of order, or they took it all wrong. And they run. They say, yeah, but they don't understand me. And I'll tell you what. If we're seeking God and have that for fulfillment, it doesn't matter who understands us. I mean, if God understands us and we're seeking Him, if somebody says something to me that offends me, I can stay right here and still be fulfilled in Christ. I can do that. You know, we need the brotherhood. We need a brother to say something to us sometime to kind of wake us out of that sleep a little bit and like in Revelation there, it says they were doing all the right things, but he says, if you don't repent, I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. And if we don't repent from that attitude, I think eventually our candlestick will be removed. If I need a rebuke, and someone gives me a rebuke, and it's correct and it's right, I simply need to repent. If I'm seeking God, that won't hurt, will it? But if there's nothing to it, that doesn't matter either, because I'm still fulfilled in Christ, then I can go on praising the Lord. People get offended. And when people get offended, I know they're not fulfilled in Christ. Once was ceaseless holding, now He holds me fast. Once was constant drifting, now my anchor's cast. Once was busy planning, all those plans we can make. Now 'tis trustful prayer. Once was anxious caring, now He has the care. Once was I what I wanted, now what Jesus says. Once was constant asking. Oh, we ask and we ask and we ask like Jabez did maybe sometime. Now it's ceaseless praise. How did the Israelites have the most victory? When they were asking for all these blessings, or when they were just praising God and singing and God came and did the work? Now it's ceaseless praise. Once it was my working. Oh, the many works we can do on our own strength can be like being in the quicksand in the mire. And the more we work, struggle, the more we try to do, the deeper we go. But He says, once was my working, now it His shall be. Once I tried to use Him. Oh, people who try to use Christ for all kinds of things. He gets the blame. He gets the glory for all kinds of things that man want the glory for. Once the power I wanted, now the mighty one. Simon the sorcerer, he wanted the power. He wanted all this power. He's seen what the apostles were doing. And he says, oh, I want that too. I want to be able to go out and do all those things. There's people that look at other people that are doing great things through the power of God and saying, hey, I'd like to do that. But that's the problem. It's I'd like to do it. I want to do it. And they're not looking at it as what God wants to do. And they're not willing to just take their place somewhere else. And they want to go and imitate what somebody else is doing. And that's what Simon the sorcerer was doing. And he said, God told him, Peter told him, he said, put them all words, you're in bad shape. You're in bad shape. You need to repent. Because he wanted that power for the wrong reason. Once the power I wanted, now the mighty one. Once for self I labored, now for Him alone. Once I hoped in Jesus, now I know He's mine. Once my lamps were dying, now they brightly shine. Once for death I waited, now His coming hail. And my hopes are anchored safe within the veil. Where are our hopes this morning? Are our hopes in how well we can look separate from the world? And I believe we should. Don't think for a second you can just go out there and do like the world, smell like the world. But that by itself won't save you. Are my hopes in all the good works and all the wonderful things that I can do and get out there and spend myself and spend and be spent? Paul did that. He said he was spending and being spent, but it was for God. It wasn't just because of something that he wanted to do. God had changed his life. God had come down and turned his life around. And his energies were spent now for a different reason. He was very zealous from the beginning. He wanted, it was all wrong, misdirected, but once God came down and turned his life around, it was all for a different reason. It was all for the honor and glory of God, and that power just could work and flow through him. And God wants to bless us. But you know what? Sometimes God blesses us even with things that we ask him for that are not even for our good. I'm almost scared sometimes to pray and ask God for some things, because the Bible says that we don't even know how we ought to pray. Sometimes we pray and ask God for things that God knows are not going to be for our good. And like he did with the Israelites, he gave them a king, wasn't for their good, but he said, You're gonna be sorry for this, but I'm gonna give it to you anyway. You know, he does that for us sometimes too. He'll give us some things that aren't even for our good, I believe. Just because He'd like to bless us, and on the other hand, maybe we need to learn a lesson too. I believe it's just far better to ask for Him. As I look at the Scripture and I look at the things, and we ought to always pray for people's salvation. We know it's God's will for all men to be saved, but in the ways that God wants to do that, sometimes I just need to, like it says, we make our prayer and supplication to God, and the Spirit makes intercession for us. The Spirit makes intercession for the things that the way God wants them to happen. And He can only do this if we're praying and we're seeking God and we're seeking for His will to be done and not doing it the way that I would see that and think that it needs to be done sometimes. There are so many times like that in my life. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue. But let's continue and let's do it for His honor and glory, and recognizing that God is all-knowing, all-merciful, all-powerful. He knows how and when and what should be done. And we seek Him for His honor and glory, and we will be fulfilled. We will be steadfast. We will be unmovable in the work of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when we find our anchor there, where Moses found his anchor, I'll tell you, it's like Paul said, nothing can destroy us. He said in Romans, he said, the only thing that can destroy us is ourself, if we're seeking God. If we're not seeking God, if we don't seek God the way we ought, we could go and we could seek God even from our own carnal desires and be destroyed. But if we're looking to Him, if we're seeking Him, if we're seeking His fulfillment, His glory and His honor, we will be fulfilled, and we will not, that evil one will not be able to get to us. We'll stand fast forever. And we'll be able to be, the reward is being with Him in glory. And that's forever. That's what I'm looking forward to. Let's don't get discouraged along the way though, because there's many falling and there's many more going to. But we don't have to be one of them. We don't have to be one. We can remain steadfast and faithful in the love of Christ, like Peter did. And when Peter got converted, there was no turning back. Now, there are sometimes people who think they're converted, and maybe they did get saved, but they still haven't got that, I'm just going to say, what Moses had. And they still haven't got there. Let's get there. Let's don't give up if we're not there yet. Let's seek that. And let's go for it. I don't know where you're all at here today. If you're not there, seek that, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The promise that the Bible has for us. And if you're there, just keep on and be faithful. May God bless.